Now, the rest of the story. In Boston, last quarter of the last century, Johnny was a teenage newsboy. His poor family resided among the teeming tenements in the city's north end, but his horizons stretched far beyond to another neighborhood. No, let me say another universe, where he sold newspapers. Breathtaking, beautiful Beacon Hill. Magnificent homes inhabited by men who wore frock coats and women who carried delicate parasols. Stately avenues populated by silk-hatted coachmen driving open Victorias. Peddling papers got Johnny up at 3 most mornings. Often an extra late edition kept him on the streets until long after dark. As the hour grew late, the bright, blue-eyed youth would stand at his favorite corner, Beacon and Park, the Boston Globe bundled in his arms. He would stare at the myriad merrily lighted windows on Beacon Hill, imagining the people inside, hearthside, sipping rare wine, reading wonderful books before the warm fire. It was one such winter evening, as Johnny had sold his last newspaper, that the thin, fresh-faced lad spotted a large, kindly-looking woman who was struggling with burdensome packages in a slippery street. He called out, "May I help you?" The woman answered that she would be most appreciative, that she was going to number 31 Beacon, where she was a member of the household staff. When they reached the big red brick mansion, the boy's eyes grew wide. It was the most beautiful home he had ever seen. The woman invited Johnny into the servant's kitchen for a cup of hot tea and her thanks for his chore. Eagerly, the young man accepted. He learned that the woman had been a cook in this home for nearly 15 years. He observed that a great number of servants were required to run the household, a butler, a footman, a valet, what seemed like a maid for every room. And then Johnny remarked at how lovely the rest of the home must be, and the cook smiled. She said that since the family was out for the evening, she would give the boy a tour of the mansion. Well, naturally, Johnny was in awe, and particularly for some reason, as he stood in the doorway of the children's playroom. As he stood in the doorway of the children's playroom, because that room was filled with every imaginable toy. Elaborately carved wooden soldiers and horses, hand-painted boats and trains with parts that moved. And as Johnny stood there on the threshold of a childhood he had never known, he made a silent, solemn vow that someday, some way, his own children would have toys and a playroom like that. This was more than a fleeting impression. It was a vivid mental picture that stuck with Johnny for the rest of his life, even after he made good on his promise. And all through an inspiring political career that included 3 terms in the United States Senate and 2 terms as mayor of Boston. And yet the full future significance of Johnny's boyhood visit to number 31 Beacon was something not even he could have imagined. For that resplendent mansion was then the home of a scholar named Henry Cabot Lodge, whose namesake grandson would be Richard Nixon's running mate in 1960. But by the way, Johnny, John Francis Fitzgerald, was inspired by the Lodge household to pamper his own daughter, whose name was Rose, and she married a man named Joe Kennedy. Rose Kennedy had everything in her toy room. Of course, you know their son, JFK. But now you know where the dream began, in the doorway of a playroom at number 31 Beacon Street, because now you know the rest of the story.